Shout hallelujah. Listen, thank you, choir, for waking us up this morning. So if you were not awake before you came, you ought to be now. Find, if you would, in your Bibles, John chapter 3. You've heard of that chapter before. And listen, if you don't already have it marked or some reason wouldn't get to it quickly, you may just want to mark that for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to continue in John 3. It will be our emphasis for the entire month of March, believe it or not. So we'll take our time and maybe get a little more deeper into the Word, but we're glad that you're here today. Thank you, Brother Jerry, who shared about our Gideon testimony. Many of you know Parkway has a long history of supporting Gideons. We have Gideons in our church pretty much for its entire existence. The deacon camp here, Lee County or Auburn County, whichever, Auburn City, I do know Auburn City. They used to meet here on a monthly basis, and we appreciate the Gideons and appreciate the distribution of the Bibles around the world. We will spend eternity hearing of testimonies, I believe, of Gideon Bibles. I personally appreciate it. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a hospital room or hospital waiting room, and suddenly I need a Bible, and I'll grab a Bible, use one of those. Or I've been somewhere and have been in a hotel or traveling, and either I've forgotten my Bible. One time traveling internationally, I lost my Bible, and I stole one. I did. Next time I saw a Gideon, I wrote a check. I said, I felt so bad about it. But he told me, he said, it's the one thing we want you to steal. So if people steal Bibles, we hope that they're reading them. So that's a good thing. We appreciate it. If you'd like to give to the Gideons, you can put it certainly designated on your envelope. You can write it to Gideon International. We'll give it directly to them. If you do write to Parkway, we'll be sure that they get that as well. So there's information as well as envelopes about our Gideons on all of the tables. You can grab one if you have not already, so that you'll be able to have that and be able to see that. Also, this is a spring break, as you know, for college and for our schools, and we have some of our students who are heading out to do mission work. They're going to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and they're doing disaster relief, and we appreciate them. I think, is everybody that's going sitting on that table, sitting on that one row? So y'all wave at us here for just a moment. Yeah, though they're going, they're waving back at you. So we will make them stand today. But we are going to take a moment and pray for them. They're leaving at 9:40, even if I'm not done, they said. So they're heading out today, and we're going to be praying for them. Appreciate them beginning in the service. So this is kind of a commissioning that we're doing as we pray. I'm going to lift up a prayer. We're also going to pray for Gideon Ministry and pray for the service today. You know, one prayer is good, but however many we have, hey, man, lots more than when we started just a few minutes ago have come in. But we want everybody to pray today. I'm going to pray aloud. You pray silently. Let's do it now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity that we have to be able to come and worship you today. And together, Father, we come and lift up prayers. First, we want to give praise for your almighty and glorious name. We thank you, Father, that we can come together in your name. We pray today that your name will be exalted in everything that we do. We pray also today that our hearts will be touched and transformed. And pray today for this service that if there's anyone here today, anyone listening today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. Also lay upon our hearts others who are lost, or unchurched, Father, many names that are here on the altar today. So we go ahead and we pray for those, and our emphasis for this month, but may it be also our emphasis throughout the entire year and in our lives. We do pray today, Father, for Gus, Pastor Gus, and our students who are traveling today. We pray, Father, that you may certainly give them safe travel to and from. We pray, Father, for the physical work that they'll be doing to help people. We pray, Father, also for the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel, both in their actions and verbally. Give them the words to say, Father, and we look forward to what we hear about this group that is going, spending their spring break as well. We thank you, Father, for the Gideon Ministry. We thank you for Brother Jerry that shared today. And we thank you for the Bibles that are being distributed, continue to be distributed on Auburn's college campus, on the campus of schools and other universities and hospitals and in hotels and many, many other places. And Father, we pray that we know that, so we read just a couple of weeks ago, that your word does not return void. It says in Isaiah 55, we pray, Father, that it will do what it's intended to do, what you have intended, for we know that that will come to fruition. We thank you for the many lives that have been saved, those who've come to know Jesus, those who've been brought back, because they've picked up your word and they have read it. And Father, may we be faithful to read it, study it, share it as well. Now, Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. John chapter 3 has always been significant to me, as it probably has for you, for me, because it was the focus, and it was what I preached on my very first sermon. I was 9 years old. It was a VBS commencement time, and I preached for my very first time after I'd come down the aisle and said, the Lord's calling me to preach. I was nine. It lasted about 9 minutes, and it was 9 years before they ever asked me to preach again. So I'm not sure that it's very good. So here we are over a half a century later. I'm getting another chance to preach on John chapter 3. So here we are. I can't guarantee it's going to be any better. It probably will be longer today than it was on that day. But as we come and as we approach it, we recognize that the Lord often brings something new. Not only was I nine, it lasted 9 minutes, been 9 years, but our focus is on John chapter 3 and verse 9 today. John chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Let's put it in some context. We're going to begin reading. We looked at just the first three verses really last week, so we're going to pick up in verse 4. John chapter 3, verse 4, we'll read through verse 15. Would you stand and honor the reading of God's word today? This now is the word of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word, and you may be seated. Every time we hear the God's word, every time we read the gospel, we should be encouraged to new ways of thinking and to new ideas. Every time we meet together and dive into God's word, something new and fresh should be expected to find and apply to our life. We have this familiar story in Nicodemus. In fact, it is the most familiar verse that we have in this chapter. You might have noticed we stopped short of reading John 3:16, but that will be our focus, and probably we'll talk about it maybe every time we get together this month. But on March 16th, on 3:16:25, we'll read John 3:16. You may be wondering today, what new is there for you in this story? But it is the amazing thing about what the Holy Spirit does and about God's word that every time we come to it, we should come in expectation. When we come together in corporate worship such as now, in your small group Bible study, every time that you come together in your home with your family or when you are alone, you should expect something new and fresh. It is the wonder of God's word. Now, not all the time, but a lot of times when the preaching is taking place or even when teaching is taking place, like in Sunday school, you're often being reminded of something that you should already know, or you're just something maybe that you have forgotten that the Lord has brought. But oftentimes, even when that happens, you find something, oh, I forgot that, or I didn't never seen that before. For we can know all the facts, we can even memorize the story and even the verses, but the Holy Spirit can bring it anew and afresh every time. It can happen, and it can, and we're expecting it to even happen today. Would you like to know how? We've got some notes there with you. We're going to talk about what is there new or what is there still to learn about the Christian life. What is there still to learn about the Christian life? Well, even you need a new beginning. Even you need a new beginning. I would say chances are better than good that there are many who are here today that need a new beginning right now. No matter what your season of life, no matter how long you've been coming to church, no matter how long you've been a Christian, that you may need a new beginning today, particularly if you're not a Christian today. Today we're talking about new beginnings, and here was Nicodemus, who was confronted with a new approach to life. Nicodemus was very religious. As you know, we've talked about, he was a Pharisee, he was a teacher, he was a leader of the Jews. Pharisees were considered of the highest religious order, careful to observe every law and command in the Bible as well as the ones that they've made up along the way. From the world's view, he was a very unlikely candidate to have a change in his midlife or to be taught something new. Verse 2 says, Nicodemus came at night. We're not told why. We just assume perhaps that he did not want anyone else to know that he was coming to Jesus. But no doubt it represents that he was in a spiritual darkness, clueless about Jesus, though he was a religious man. He had either heard Jesus personally before, or he had heard about Jesus, and he asked or he states his business. And verses we read last week, "Rabbi, we know you're from God because of the signs and the miracles." Now, Nicodemus was a smart man. We recognize that. In fact, he was smart enough to call Jesus rabbi and recognize that he was a teacher. He was showing great respect. He says, "We know, and it's obvious that you're from God." Maybe not everybody else is going to admit that. Nicodemus probably thought well of himself even to admit that he knew that Jesus must be from God because of all the miracles and signs. And then Nicodemus pauses. We're not told exactly. Maybe there was a pregnant pause to see what Jesus was going to say next, because he didn't really ask Jesus anything at first. I think he was wanting to, but maybe his pride would not allow it. So he's asking without actually asking, but Jesus knows. For once, a Pharisee was asking, not about religious rules or some doctrinal minutiae or about political or religious power of the day. Nicodemus may have been asking, and I may call him Nick from time to time, "What about me? Jesus, do you have a message for me? Do you have something for Nicodemus?" Is that not how many of us first came to Jesus? We asked, "Lord, what about me? Would you give me life? Would you give me eternal life? I want to be saved. I want you to help me in the things of my life. Boy, I even want you to make me happier." That's okay. Jesus is in the saving business. But once we start life with Jesus, once we start new with Jesus, then we have that lifelong journey where Jesus helps us to be able to understand and know that we are not the center of the universe. We learn to stop focusing so much on self, and we learned and we're still learning to focus more on Jesus and on others. Jesus knew that, and he was asking, and he quickly turned the conversation to what was most important: a lost man finding salvation through Jesus. And he says, "Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nick's going to take issue with being born again, but it got to the heart of the problem. Maybe you're here today and you've moved away from God. You would say that, "I'm not as close to God as I once was, or I know that I need to be." Well, don't think that, "Well, I've wasted it and it's too late," because he wants to give you a new beginning. It was just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were in Lamentations, and we read that Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, "Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning." Notice the newness. "Great is your faithfulness, I will put my hope in you." Sometimes we have heard, if we're going to witness to lost people, we don't need to use all the church words that we sometimes use. You're talking to somebody that's lost or out of church, maybe you don't want to use words like sanctification, regeneration, dispensationalism. Maybe so. Maybe that would be good words not to use. And maybe not even words like saved and lost and born again. But here we have Nicodemus. Here we have Jesus uses some of those words. He said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus acted as if he had no idea what Jesus was talking about. "Go back into my mother's womb," he asked, but I think Nicodemus did know. He could just not imagine that it would be for him, because this is a way sometimes rabbis talked about Gentiles converting to Judaism, as sometimes being born again into Judaism. And Jesus challenged this religious ruler by saying he needed this new beginning. Nicodemus' response was, "You're kidding." He says, "I'm already Jewish. Not only I'm Jewish, but I'm a Pharisee. And not only am I a Pharisee, but I'm one of the rulers of the Pharisee." In fact, Jesus called him the teacher of the Jews. And so he was asking, he said, almost said, implied, you know, I don't know that I need this because after all, I'm me, Nicodemus said. How many times have you sat in the Bible study or you sat in preaching sometimes and you've either said out loud or you've thought to yourself, amen, preacher, you tell them. Those folks really need that. You're thinking of somebody else, so-and-so really needs what's being said today. Maybe you even thought your spouse needs it today, but most often, you and I need to change. Today, Lord, make us brand new. Break our hearts. Give us a new compassion for others. Recreate us in your image. You remember Robert Smith Jr. that preached here in Heyday we had back in August. I've heard him preach many times, and he preaches about us having the whole gospel. I can't say it like he says it, but he says the rebirth takes care of us from head to toe. And not just the way we think or the intellect, but it also covers the heart. Okay, can we all agree lost people need new beginnings? God will give anyone here today a new beginning, no matter who you are, if you'll come in repentance and faith. Right now, we're praying for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're here in this room, someone listening today. In fact, I'm going to ask you, members, just whisper a prayer that lost people will be saved today. Or that they're hearing the message, seeds will be planted. Maybe you want to whisper a prayer for the many names that we have here on our altar that are part of the Hoosier Three of folks that are lost or unchurched, that they'll also be able to experience this rebirth that is from above. But maybe you're thinking, I've been a Christian for a long time. How can I need a new beginning? Well, because you're not there yet. We're all sinners who are saved by grace, and even in our best moments, sin still seeps through until we meet Jesus. We're not perfect, and even our motives are laced with selfish desires. Unless you have arrived, you and I need a new beginning. And a new beginning brings a renewed spirit. A new beginning brings a renewed spirit. When I say a renewed spirit, I mean a believer who is more submissive to the Holy Spirit who's living in you, that we need to submit even more to that Holy Spirit. But also, we recognize the Holy Spirit renews our spirit within us and gives us even more enthusiasm. For Jesus answered Nicodemus' second question, aren't I too old? I've already been born. Now, Nicodemus, he's ready to roll with the questions. Jesus answers the age question. No matter how old you are, everybody needs the Spirit of God in their life or needs to submit to the Spirit of God more. The calendar cannot be turned back. Most of us probably wish that there are some things that we had done that wish we had not done, other things that we had not done we wish we had of. But we see God's forgiveness as taking out all the garbage out of our life from the past, filling it in with the Holy Spirit, and the result is the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life. Before Jesus started his public ministry, John the Baptist was preaching. He was preaching about come and be baptized and repentance and be ready for the one who is to come. He gained so much attention that the Pharisees sent a committee out to find out about John, and they asked John the Baptist some questions, and John told them, listen, I baptize with water, but another comes who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Committee of Pharisees. Now, here's one of the Pharisees. He was now in the presence of the one whom John talked about who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. There's some debate about what the scripture we just read, about what Jesus meant by being born of water and spirit. Some believe that that just means that everybody's going to be physically born of water, and then everybody needs to be born of the Holy Spirit. Of course, others say Jesus was talking about water baptism, meaning here that water baptism does not save, but it was about the cleansing of sin by repentance and by grace through faith in Jesus when the Holy Spirit enters a person's heart and life. Either way, the message is the same. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit because every believer has the Holy Spirit who enters the moment that salvation occurs. Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, every bit as real, every bit as eternal as the Father and as the Son. Jesus said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Well, you plant apple seeds, you can expect apples. You plant watermelon seeds, you expect watermelons. And we could go down the line, tomatoes and tomatoes. But for humans, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we produce humans with a fleshly, sinful nature. being born of the Spirit produces the Spirit with a God-like nature. Now, the old nature's still lurking around, but you can be sure that the old nature and the new nature cannot live in harmony. You spiritually and literally cast out the old nature where you or Satan would be in charge. You're primarily looking out for number one. The new Spirit gives you a new perspective as you submit to Him. And Jesus describes the Holy Spirit and compares the Spirit to the wind. So much so that the word in the original language for Spirit and wind are exactly the same word. If you read it in the Greek language, only the context tells you about whether it actually is what's being said is the wind or the Spirit. And Jesus says you cannot see it, but you can hear it. You can see the effects of it, and you can feel it. You cannot see it, but you can hear it. You can see the effects, and you can feel it. So put your faith in what is real. Now, what are we talking about, the wind or the Spirit? Yes. We need to learn to expect to see the effects of the Spirit. Jesus said He is our comforter and counselor. He produces fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The same Spirit who knocks on the heart's door of the one who is lost is at work to produce transformation in your life and mine, to reveal God's holy power in you. Has the Holy Spirit ever let you down? No, me neither. I've let Him down many times. But you cannot tell we're always expecting the Holy Spirit to be at work. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but every now and then I'll run across a sign that signs that do not seem to go together. Let's see, I've got one for you here, I think. Just signs that do not seem to go together. Here's another. Can you see it? Do you think anybody notices? Does anybody notice these signs? Somebody put them up? I mean, they had to take time to put them up. No pets allowed. I'm sure that means maybe no pets allowed there. And this one, I have no idea what this means. No, not that one. The next one. Yeah, do not enter only. What's it? Priest try to walk without. Now, if somebody knows what that means, just please, maybe describe it to you. You think anybody ever notices? You can take that one off. But sometimes we say we believe, and how we react and our attitudes don't really go together either. Understand the signs. In other words, they need to go together. If we say that we have the Holy Spirit, we believe that we have the Holy Spirit, shouldn't it make a difference in how we act and in our attitudes? You think anybody ever notices? I believe people will notice, or they'll just disregard. Well, he says he's a Christian. She says she's a believer. She's they go to church. But if there's nothing different about, we need to be sure and understand we have a hard time stepping out on faith, or we don't expect God to do what only He can do. We need to expect that, because you following the Holy Spirit will lead to expectation. You following the Holy Spirit will lead to expectation. Why? Because we've been born not just of water, but also of the Spirit. And the Spirit produces spiritual stuff. Nicodemus asks one last question, and it's our focus. How can this be? In other words, how can it be true? But he's really asking, how can it be for me? How can it be really something that I need? Jesus used the idea of being born again because he's just not out to make us better people. He doesn't want to make you a better you. He wants to make you brand new. He wants to do something different in your life. Listen, in our 100 days of Bible reading that many of you are doing, if you're doing your own Bible reading, fine, but we're doing 100 days of Bible reading. We're in Ezekiel. And some of you think, well, what can we learn from? Because there's lots of great stuff in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, a few days ago, said, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you." Boy, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, who wrote this? He says, "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh." What else is there new to learn? A new beginning brings a new spirit which leads to new direction. One of our problems is we naturally look into the wrong direction, often looking to ourselves or this world or something else for the answers. Or do we not think big enough? We're not thinking God-sized. Jesus gave Nick 3 earthly symbols to help him understand what a new life of faith looked like. What were those earthly illustrations? You've got them. You could have filled in that blank. The womb, the water, and the wind. But these went right over the learned Pharisee's head and probably would for all who refused to believe. Then how, Jesus said? He said, how could you understand the heavenly things if you're not understanding the and comprehending the earthly? In order to understand what the Christian life is all about, to get the most out of it, to keep growing and learning, we must have a new direction. We must be going in a different direction. It's possible to understand these earthly symbols and to know something about Jesus. Nicodemus knew something about Jesus. You do signs and miracles. You must be from God. So it's possible to know something about Jesus, but not to know Jesus personally. It's possible to know Jesus personally and to know many things about Jesus and not to be growing spiritually. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, just a short verse. Set your minds on what is above and not what is on the earth. How can we do that? What must be done to have this new direction? Thankfully, Jesus makes it possible. Mankind has been trying to make their way to God for ages. You could go back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis, and they their own way of trying to make themselves a name for themselves and maybe even make their way to heaven or to God. You could look at Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, and like the Apostle Paul before he came to know Jesus personally, well, I'm going to make my way to God by being religious, by following the rules, by making up rules and following those and following the Old Testament Jewish laws, but it couldn't be done. So what happened? God made his way down to us through Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. He makes that connection possible. Twice in this passage, Jesus refers to new direction as the kingdom of God. As new citizens of the kingdom of God, we recognize that we depend not on ourselves, not on anything that we can earn, not anything that we deserve, but only on the King of Kings. Verse 14, Jesus gives Nicodemus an illustration from the Old Testament, from Numbers chapter 21. And surely Nicodemus would, as a student of Old Testament scripture, he would know this. And the children of Israel in Numbers 21, they're in the wilderness. They're complaining again about, they say Moses has brought them out here to die in the wilderness. There's no water, although God already had provided water. There's nothing to eat. And actually they had manna, but they didn't want manna anymore. They were complaining about that. So God sent snakes, and they all got bit. And some began to die. They were sorry for their complaints. They were sorry for their sins. They went to Moses, asked Moses to come and to ask, pray to God for forgiveness. In Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. But what a strange thing to do. But God's ways, as we have discovered, are not our ways. Well, in order, though, for this to happen, of course, there had to be some faith, even to make it, and then to look up at it and think that this is how you're going to survive the snake bites. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know that snake story back in Numbers? And I don't think Nick got it at the time. Jesus said, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Son of Man was an Old Testament name used for Ezekiel on occasions, and now for the Messiah, recognizing his humanity and his humility, the Messiah would be placed on a cross-shaped tree and be lifted up. And everyone who believes, everyone who places their faith in Christ, all who look at the cross and believe, have a new life and have eternal life. Now, I want you to recognize this. We're in John chapter 3. Here Jesus is telling Nicodemus, said, you know, Son of Man's going to be lifted up. Everyone who... And then in John chapter 19, at the cross, you know who's at the cross, we're told? Nicodemus. When Jesus got lifted up, you think he suddenly remembered? I hope that he did. So this is what he's talking about. Do you see the progression? Everyone must be born again by grace through faith in Jesus. If you're born again, that you will have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you will have a new direction in life, being kingdom work. Kingdom work, working toward the stuff that heaven is made of and not the earthly, for the earthly does not last. It is possible to be a believer and have the Holy Spirit and not follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would say that it happens often. It's the tragedy of a believer who is living more in the flesh than they are in the Spirit. For illustration purposes only, anybody been talking college basketball lately? Oh, is it too soon? David even. Can you say foul shot? Do you know difference? Do you know the difference between a flagrant one and a flagrant two? A lot of Auburn fans do. Have you cheered for your team? Look at verse 6. What does the Spirit produce? Spirit. Boy, we could always use a little bit more Spirit in the church, could we not? But if we're not submissive to the Spirit, we'll not have the Spirit or produce spiritual fruit in our lives, and we will lose direction. No focus, no purpose, no peace. What a triple tragedy for those who claim the name of Jesus as their Savior. So something implicit also is in these verses is a new warning for believers. For unbelievers and believers, there's a new warning. For the lost and the saved. If you are a genuine believer, you've accepted Jesus, you've been born again, which means that the Holy Spirit is in you, you've been given new direction, don't waste it. But there's a warning here for lost people, which was given to Nicodemus. At first implicitly, and then later in the chapter explicitly. Read verse 15. It says, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That's the good news. What's the opposite? No eternal life for those who do not believe. This warning becomes even more explicit later in this chapter. But unbelievers are warned, faith in Jesus alone. Faith in Jesus alone. Without Christ, there is no new life. There is no eternal life. But there's also a warning for believers. That is for Christians. Also in our 100 days of reading, Ezekiel 33 tells the story of the watchman, which would refer to someone standing guard on the wall of a city. The Lord tells Ezekiel if the watchman were to see a sword coming against a city, then that means that it sees an imminent attack coming, and the watchman blows the trumpet and warns the city. If the people of the city do not heed the warning, take the necessary steps to protect or to be on guard, then their blood will be on their own head because they heard the trumpet but did nothing. If they had acted, they would have been saved. And then we come to this verse, which is now on the screen. Chapter 33 and verse 6. It says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes away any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's head. Then God says to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7, which says, so you, son of man, I've made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. So God's saying to us, believers are God's watchmen, and you are to give warning. We stand on a wall. We blow the trumpet. Will we fail to give warning? Well, how about this? Not on our watch. If you're a believer, you want everyone to know and have opportunity to accept Jesus. We read right up to John 3:16. We're going to pick up there next Sunday. This is the cliffhanger. Come in great anticipation of March 16th and John 3:16. For a new beginning brings a renewed love. A new beginning brings a renewed love. Love for the Lord Jesus and a love for others. We'll talk more about that next week and in the weeks to come. But how is this information new today? How is it new today? Well, it was new to Nicodemus. Because it was not just for Israel. For Nicodemus would have thought it's just for the Jewish people and just for Israel. It was new to the world because it's not just earned. The world only thinks then and today that it's something that you have to earn, something that you have to do. It's new to you today because we're discovering more and more it's not just for you. Because we've experienced the love of God grows in us, and we want even more today for more people to come to know Christ, for those whom we know, those whom we care about, and even those that we don't. We have this group of college students that are going to Spartanburg, South Carolina. They're going to be working with disaster relief. Most of us have been to a place to where we have seen the devastation. I mean, you've seen it on TV, but many of us, Beauregard, other places, many of our church have been on disaster relief, and the devastation left behind tornadoes and hurricanes is unmistakable. Uprooted trees, houses blown away, cars upside down. It's unmistakable evidence of a mighty wind. When the Spirit of God blows into a person's life, it should be unmistakable evidence of new life in Jesus. doubts, worry, skepticism, self-reliance are all uprooted. Hope, faith, and love are planted and grow as the Lord waters and tills the soil and we follow Him. The Spirit of Jesus in you should be unmistakable. How about Nicodemus? Was Nicodemus ever born again? He's not mentioned in this chapter after that last question in verse 9. But there's some evidence that he might have become a believer. Matter of fact, in John 7, Nick speaks up for Jesus before the Sanhedrin, though not publicly proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Nicodemus shows up again after the death of Jesus, and he and Joseph of Arimathea, they prepare Jesus' body for burial. Is this conclusive evidence that Nicodemus was born again? I'd like to think that he was. But I'm going to have to say, it was inconclusive from the evidence. We do not know for sure. I'd like to think Nicodemus was. But is there a question about you being born again? Is there a question about you or me being born again? In your mind and heart, do you know that you have Jesus in your heart? And do you know that you have a home in heaven? If not, then you can settle that today. Come forward in a few minutes. Let's be sure that you know before you leave this place that you have a home in heaven, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But I'm also asking, just like we've asked of Nicodemus, how conclusive is the evidence that Jesus has changed your life? Would the world have little or no doubt you're a Jesus follower, or does today need to be a day of new beginning? Make no mistake, we follow Jesus, not just for what we can gain, but so that we can be part of kingdom building, so that we can have influence on others to have a growing relationship with Him. You saw the cards, if you were here last week, that we have about 250 people that placed 1 to 3 names of people that they're praying for who are lost or unchurched. And we have these, and I encourage you today that if you haven't yet placed a card, and we have our time of commitment here, you place it any time, but you come down during that time publicly placing before others, and there are cards that are in the chair racks there where you were sitting. You could take those, put 3 names on each side, the same names on each side, keep one and lay one here. We're going to be praying for these, but also evidence that we're a church that is praying for the lost and the unchurched, and you can do that today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship your holy name. We pray, Father, even as we've heard the story of Nicodemus, we pray and know that there are seekers out there who need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we pray that we may be a church that is ready to tell others, not to wait till they're 100 years old, but always ready, wanting to be able to share that no one could come through this community without hearing about the good news of the gospel. We pray for others outside this community as well, that more and more will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray, Father, that for those here today, listening today, that don't know you, that today might be the day of salvation. May they call upon you, knowing through faith that your grace is sufficient for salvation and your grace is sufficient for each day. We lift these prayers up in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand? We'll be singing our song of commitment. Encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you need to come giving your heart and life to Jesus, I'm going to be standing down here at the front. Be glad to talk with you about what it means to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you're looking for a church home, and encourage you to come, make Parkway your church home, and you come along with us in the journey that we have as a community with the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you be ready to follow Him. Altar is open for you to come and pray. If you have a Hoosier 3 card, you could come and place that Hoosier 3 card even now as we sing.